I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Thanks, gents. Our scripture reading this week comes from Matthew 15, 32 through 38. This is God's word. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I feel sorry for these people because they have been with me for 3 days now and have nothing to eat. I don't want them to go away hungry, for they might faint on their way home." The disciples asked him, "Where will we find enough food in this desert to feed this crowd?" "How much bread do we have?" Jesus asked. 7 loaves, they answered, and a few small fish. So Jesus ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fish. He gave thanks to God, broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up the 7 baskets full of pieces left over. The number of men who ate was 4,000, not counting women and children. Then Jesus sent the people away, got into the boat, and went to the territory of Magadan. This is the reading of God's word. Amen.
I don't know how many of you remember several years ago when Ted Ferris was with us here, worshiping, that he and I did a play about Peter and Andrew and the whole enactment of the the feeding of the 5,000. And it's a hilarious thing, and I didn't have time to really redo it and get any other Ted Ferris characters with me. But the one scene that, you know, is hilarious, or I love in that, is where, you know, the two characters go out into the audience and grab some, you know, whatever food is out there and bring it to Jesus and say, "Well, we've got some mints and we've got some candy bars. Oh, yes, and we have these fish and bread." And then Jesus does this miracle, and Peter and Andrew are taken back. "We've got fish, we've got bread, we've got fish, Andrew." And they're all excited. They got all this food, and they're taking it out and sharing it with everybody. So it's a fun way to think about the story, but I want us to kind of also think of it on another level. What if, as Peter and Andrew are just piling up the fish and the bread, and it's just stacking up higher and higher, and they're just saying, "Thank you, God. Thank you for all of this that you've given. Look at all this. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Why aren't you doing anything with this, Lord? Why is this all here? People are starving. Look at all this food we've got. This is amazing. Thank you. But why is it just here? It's not getting to the people." Now, it's pretty absurd to think about that. That the disciples would just let that food sit there and not distribute it. But yet, as we think about this story and about our own lives, sometimes we run into that same situation. Because we come to church, we worship God, and we love the blessings that God gives us, and we sit back and say, "Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." As the blessings keep piling up in our lives. And then we begin to wonder, well, why aren't you doing these other things around us? Why is there so much suffering around us? You know, in this story, it is amazing because it all starts off by this little boy who presents some bread and some fish to Jesus. And Jesus takes that from that child, blesses it, and it multiplies. Now,
Can you imagine the life that that child lived the rest of his life? Yes, I'm the one that brought the bread to Jesus. That was me. Yep, yep. Or their parents saying, that's my boy right there. He brought bread and fish. I told him not to, but he did. That's years later. Around Thanksgiving dinner. Johnny, tell us a story about how you gave those fishes to Jesus. But Jesus no more needed that little boy's bread and fish than you need your grandchildren to help you make chocolate chip cookies. But yet, he welcomed that child. Jesus no more needed the disciples to pass out the food to the crowds than he needed that little boy. Jesus could have, and actually I think this would have been more dramatic and more in keeping with the Old Testament, he could have said, all right, I'm calling manna from heaven to come down, and I'm going to call the quails to come in from the coast, and we'll have all the food we can eat, just like Moses. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus could have just said, everybody has food. But he didn't do that either. Jesus involved this little boy and his disciples in this miracle of giving to the masses, the people, what they needed. Now, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And we have my pyramid of discipleship. And it's kind of small and it's hard to see. I realize that. And actually, I have some hard copies in the back there if you would like them. But the first part, we talked about knowing Jesus, knowing the Bible, and prayer. And to me, that's the foundation of everything that we do. And then there is worship. And then the sense of community that we have. And then we talked about last week about how we are called to share our faith. That again, Jesus could easily just say, all right, you believe, I'm going to make you believe, and here's the miracles, and just poof, we believe. But for some reason, he chooses us to share out our faith to other people. And then today we're talking about justice. And I believe that, like, the sharing of faith and justice and the faithfulness that we'll talk about next week, all three of those are built upon those other things, built upon our knowledge and love for Jesus in the Bible, built upon our worship and our community. Yes, you can do justice in the world, you know, without that foundation, but we as Christians have been called to do it because of what we've experienced in Christ. Because we have a God who, for some reason, sees this as a pleasure to watch his people share his blessings with one another and not just keep them for ourselves. You know, as God rescues the needy and the poor around the world, he does it through us. He does it through how we are stepping out in our faith and obedience because of what we believe about God. Just as we talked about, we share our faith of the gospel because it is our response to what God has done and what God can do. You know, we hear the stories, and we could be here all day. All you got to do is look in the news, look on the front page of the papers, go on the internet, and we hear about hundreds, if not thousands, of children who are abused around the world, who are being abused right here in the Northeast Kingdom. We know and we've heard about human trafficking that continues to go on around the world and continues to happen right here. And we know that there are thousands of people falsely accused of crimes who are being pushed out of their countries and on and on and on. The suffering we hear and see is overwhelming. You know, and we can step back and we can say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that God has given to us, for all the power, protection, freedom, and justice that we've received. And as it piles up, we have to remember those who are desperate. Or you and I can ask like the little boy with the fish and bread. Do you need these? Because here's the reality. We have been empowered to help with those situations around our world. Now, it might seem like a couple pieces of fish and a couple pieces of bread in comparison to the problem. I mean, I'm not sure what the little boy was thinking when he gave those to Jesus and thought that that was going to feed 5,000 people. But it was a step of faith and obedience to a situation that was overwhelming. Just as we have received the blessings from God and our gratitude for Him for everything that we have, now we are able to take those gifts and help those around us. God continues to prepare us to step out, to be the hands and feet. God calls us to be those people because God is one who, as Nick brought up in the children's sermon, is one who hates injustice, who was full and gave His fullness to us through Jesus Christ, and then expects us to do the same. God is also one who calls us to share that blessing with one another. And the next slide here, a couple slides here, there are just several verses in the Bible that just continually reminds us from Exodus and a host of from Psalms, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Isaiah. All those scriptures talk about how God hates injustice, how God is concerned about the oppressed. And the next slide, please. Ezekiel and the other prophets, Malachi, Amos, Micah, and in the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and then Galatians, all of these talk about how, over and over again, how God is concerned about the oppressed, how God is concerned about those who are in need. But God doesn't just say, I'm concerned about them. But we're reminded that He has empowered us to care for other people, to share what we have, to share the protection, the security, the sanctity of life that we have through Jesus Christ with other people. And there is a host of ways of doing it. And being that this is Veterans Day, I kind of thought there's something that we don't usually talk about in this context, about our veterans being the oppressed, being the needy in the world. But listen to some of these statistics. The unemployment rate post 9/11 for veterans is 6.2%. Veterans make up 12% of the adult homeless population. Many homeless veterans end up living on the streets 8 or 9 times longer than their deployments. At least 20% of veterans who served in Iraq or Afghanistan suffer from major depression or PTSD. Only 50% of returning veterans who need mental health treatment receive those services. Women veterans are 4 times as likely to become homeless as male veterans. An average of 20 veterans die from suicide every day in 2014. That's pretty devastating. That's a group of people that need our care. You know, and as we talk about Veterans Day, and I'm sure and I hope you have said to a veteran, I appreciate your service, but we have to kind of stop and think, is that all we can do? To say thank you and then step back? Now, Shelley Samuels had a thing on Facebook that I like. It's from USAA, the insurance company. And they have this program starting about honoring with action. And I want to show a video clip of one example of that they show here from their commercial.
I think the combat photographer is really extraordinary, actually, to me. from the economic system and the like. And they've been very influential in my therapy and my recovery. The time I spent out here is a time to just kind of get balance. On my last deployment, one day we lost several of the guys. That was very hard. And some of their teammates came and asked if I had pictures of them, and some of them I did, and some of them I didn't. And I felt awful that I didn't have something to give to them, to their memories and to their families back home. And that weighed very heavily on me. And I made a vow to myself, an unspoken vow, that I would photograph the soldiers before going on that heavy operation. At the time, I really didn't have anything that I was calling it, but now I just kind of refer to it as the last little pictures. So my service is a huge deal. I mean, I have no regrets. And the relationship that I have with so many of my brothers and sisters in arms has really been a motivating factor behind the Veterans Court Department, for instance, and getting back to the community that I love so much. That's it. I knew that I could continue my service in a special way, maybe not in uniform, but to be able to give back and say thanks and, in my own way, show the community that I love so much that I care. And my way of saying thank you is through my photography. Never in a million years had I expected to photograph over 6,000 veterans when it started with just one. Thank you for your service and welcome. But I'm looking forward to seeing the next 6,000 and meeting those two. When we begin the journey of giving back and saying thanks in our own way, we never really fully grasp how big it could become and how much it means to others. And when people see how genuinely invested you are and interested you are in what you're doing, they want to be a part of it. And that inevitably makes it grow, too. And, you know, I've got friends who are, like, really good at gardening. And I said, you know, it may be nice to invite a veteran to the VA and have them come out and help you weed your garden. Maybe they'll learn a little something along the way and find how therapeutic it is to get their hands in dirt. I know. By offering the time and the space to come in and maybe do a hobby with you or, you know, do a little retreat or something like that, can be a lot. For one, literally it says that you care and not to take that time to spend that. But it too can have an impact on that person's life in a positive way. It's that interaction that matters more than the actual activity.
So obviously, taking pictures of a veteran isn't going to change the world. It's a couple fish, it's a couple pieces of bread. But yet, it's 6,000 veterans, and maybe 6,000 more. And the same thing is true when we are called to do justice. We're not called to step out and, you know, free thousands of refugees from Syria. God uses what is empowering. He's already empowered with us, our gifts, our abilities. It may be taking pictures. It may be caring for a child, reading with a child at school. It may be working at a homeless shelter. It may be dot, dot, dot. What God calls you, it's not just a political thing. It's a theological thing. Our God is a God who does hate injustice. He wants to share the grace and love that is in Jesus Christ, not only in words, but in actions. So as we continue to say thank you to God, we need to find ways in which we can attach hands and feet to those thank yous. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you. We do thank you. We thank you for all your blessings, for Jesus Christ, who has given us life today and eternally. We thank you also, Lord, that you are God who loves compassion and mercy, a God who overflows with that upon us, and we are filled to the brim with that. You have empowered us to be your people in this world, to be a light in a dark world of evil and of injustice. You've called us to love one another and love your children. So guide us, Lord. Direct us. That with all that you have given to us, may we reach out and touch a person's heart. It may seem like a couple pieces of fish and a couple pieces of bread. But because of your power and your spirit, it can have an impact. May we be people of love and grace, not only with our words, but with our hands and our feet. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.